The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to The Weekend Podcast. It's a bank holiday weekend, of course. You've got an extra day there chucked on the end. That means one less day of the week trading or investing. Of course, dirty trading. We don't do that. Don't encourage that nonsense. I'm here with two dirty little fellas, Steve and Pete. You all right, lads?
Yes, hello.
Well, there we are. You know, end of an era, isn't it? End of an era there. You know.
Is it?
What, me?
End of May.
Hey, that's good, yes. That's very good. Why didn't you wait until right the end?
The end of May.
Well, it is kind of the end of May, so...
Yeah, that's what I was saying, Steve. Because you didn't even know you said it, really, did he, really?
I did know I say it. That's why I said it.
I did know I say it.
I did know I say it, right? I did know that. So do you know what? It was odd. It was quite significant. I had to go for school dinners today. It was a punishment. But I had to go and sit with my son, and we had school dinners. And as you drive past, you go through this sort of side road, right? This guy was taking down his massive sign that he had outside his house, Stop Brexit. He's a massive sign. Why do people have these signs? And I was thinking, why do people drive past? I said, maybe he's taking that down because he realises the probability of someone actually driving past that sign who has the power to actually stop Brexit is very slim, isn't it? Bother with that? Why do people put these things up and say, stop Brexit? Okay, I will. I mean, does a big sign shouting at you like that, does that actually do anything? It just shows how deluded people are.
What's the point? Why is he taking it down?
I don't know.
That's symbolic, isn't it?
Really odd. Yeah. But I say, maybe the ERS is ineffectual. It doesn't work. No one's actually paying attention to that. You can say anything. You can say, drink acid. People are not going to do it. Just because you have a big sign up doing that. It's not the same thing.
Some people would.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a good idea. But it's like, vote for a racist or something like that. People, I'll do that.
I was driving to work on Thursday, day of the European elections, and there someone had hung a European flag from the bridge, and it was like, did make you think, oh yeah, must go and vote, but also, I don't know, it was quite sort of, I quite liked it, it was quite symbolic, because obviously I thought that's quite nice, and that kind of, it's like supporting your team when they're in the World Cup or whatever, isn't it? It's the kind of, it's symbolic.
They don't care about you, Europe. It's not a cosy club. They took 8 billion off us. They don't care about that.
But we're not getting to Brexit. I'm bored of Brexit.
I don't know what was funny. I did go to vote actually the other day, and it must be very boring in the polling station. I walked in sort of midday. There's three sort of elderly ladies, lovely little ladies there, but it's very quiet in the room. And I walked in with the missus there, and she got a ballot paper, and there's little boxes or little booths you go into. And Megan said, you're not coming into my box. And I went, hey, keep it clean. It's vote day. And the ladies on the counter laughed their heads off. They were so bored, they couldn't stop laughing.
You found your audience.
I said, I'm here all day, ladies. I'm not actually, I'm just here for the vote, but there we are. But they loved it. Theresa May there. Do you know what I thought about that, though? She cried at the end. Did you see her speech? She cried at the end.
The first time
she showed emotion, really, as a robot. That was her problem. She wasn't the person's person.
I fancy voting for her now.
Yeah, but that's it. Well, that's empathy, Steve. That means you're a nice person. That means you empathise. But what we can't say, she did a terrible job. Do you know why? Because she can't speak to people. She's not a person's person. She can't do it. She's not very good at that. And that's it, you know. And it counts for everything. I think a good person there. I know it was a hard situation to get into. It is a no-win. You can't really work out the mass to stack up there. But I think a very good politician, a communicator, an orator of skill, of talent, could win around or get some kind of solution there. She couldn't. She kept headbutting the same old problem over and over again. It was becoming insane, wasn't it? Bringing back the same vote, pretending it wasn't the same vote. It was like nuts. Theresa, like shaking her. Theresa, you're bringing back the same vote. It's been voted down 3 times, you fool. She just doesn't communicate, does she, So I just think it's nice to be empathetic with her, but she did not do a good job. She was not very good at all, was she? Dreadful, in fact. Anyway, and I did say on our WhatsApp group, by the way, I think it is ironic, isn't it, how, interest in politics now is at a massive high, higher than ever. But both leaders have never been less charismatic, and they've never been less like leaders. They haven't got any leadership qualities. Corbyn is a ragbag of a man. She's a robot. They're just so dull. And so what we need now is someone there like Trump. I'm not a Trump fan, but I think he's hilarious. Because do you know what he did recently? Did you see about Huawei? Chinese. Yeah, Huawei. Chinese.
Huawei.
Huawei, man. Huawei. It's Yorkshire, it's from Geordie. But I mean, what he did is it's the biggest telecom company in the world, the biggest 5G company in the world. He's blocked them for saying what they're spying. Yeah. And he said to he threatened every country. He said, you take their equipment, relationship with us will go downhill because we're blocking it. And then he said today, that can be worked into the trade deal, the Huawei thing. I thought, hang on a sec. Are they spies or is he just revealed his hand is a negotiating ploy? And he really is putting his boot on the head of the Chinese, really, isn't he? And I mean, that's the way it should be negotiated. Cause I don't know if you saw that Channel 4 documentary about Behind Brexit, where Gustafsson, the two, and Juncker basically said they were open to a harder deal. They weren't even challenged on it. They weren't even challenged. They weren't even negotiated hard on it. And that's what we need now, hard negotiation. You know what I'm saying? Really hard. Because they would have backed off.
Yeah. But then that's what I worry about. I can't see a leader across any of the political parties and anyone capable of doing any negotiation or anything for the UK.
Boris!
I just think it's...
Boris!
Yeah, well, it's just... Yeah.
He's got a bit of personality. That's He's funny. The guy's... Listen, it makes a little difference. Let me tell you this one thing. This is the way... It's maybe like an awkward, long-winded intro about politics. But let me tell you one thing. It's a person's thing, right? It's a people thing. It really is. Now, it's a guy called Naveen Chadha, right? He was one of the youngest executives at Microsoft. At 26, he was an executive, right? Then he went on to do several things, start his own business. Now he's a VC of a fund. He's invested over 1.5 billion, I think, in the last 5-10 years in 50 companies. 17 have gone public, 18 have been acquired by bigger companies. And he said he always puts people first. Good people will find a way. That's their talent. And he says that all the time. And do you know what? People are looking at Steve texts on WhatsApp. Why is bids up? He said, on WhatsApp. And I said, thanks for listening to the podcast, Steve. He said, no, I didn't listen. So James came on the podcast, right? Now, I love the tech. I love the tech of Bidstack. I love where they are, the space, the game they're in. But let me tell you one thing. What people don't understand or miss, right? It's not only about the tech. James is very good at forming great relationships with key people. He's done it several times, and that's a huge asset. You can't buy that. That's something that May couldn't do. Mm. She will never be able to do that. She's not a people's person. You know, she hasn't got any charm. She's very cold. And it comes naturally to some people. And look, he's gone with Codemasters. Codemasters is a AAA game publisher, right? And they've always had a JV with them because they've been sort of testing their tech with them. And it will be rolled out properly with other games very soon. But they're testing their tech, right? And this can only be achieved with people of a certain touch. James has it. And he joked in the podcast. I said, how come you managed to get these people on board working with you? You know, the likes of people from Will Kasoy, who's done everything, or the guys from Spotify, or this new guy now, Lewis Sherlock, who's been everywhere, amazing guy. And he jokes, it's my charisma. And but if you look at the people he's surrounding him with, right, he's building a quality company. It doesn't matter if you've got amazing tech. If you can't speak to people and can't charm them and can't show them the opportunities and can't talk and can't inspire them, you'll be limited. James has that in abundance, and that's why he's done so well here. And look at this. You look at Bids, look at the branding, look at everything about it. It looks like a quality company. It's not an AIM bit of mucky stock that you see. They think, oh, it's a bit cheap, the website is nasty. Everything about that company is quality, you know? And you can see that company being a FTSE 250 company, and it just shows, it just shines quality, doesn't it? And so never underestimate the talent that's involved in personal touch and the charisma and personality. And James just has that. And you can't get that from anywhere else. It's not just about the tech, even though the tech is very good and the space they're in is very good. It's also about James, and he's building a cracking team. You know, so never underestimate that. And I'm going to reveal something else, right? In fact, there's a plug for my YouTube channel. Are you boys subscribed to my YouTube channels?
I've just
whizzed past 1,700 subscribers. It's not too bad. It's not Dobry Brothers or these kind of YouTube stars. But I'm getting there. I'm building it. But I'm going to reveal something about Bids on my weekend video, and I think it'd be quite surprising. Well, that's to be on the video, CC. Because if you're subscribed,
Tell us now, go on.
You are to the podcast, then you know, you'll find out.
Just tell us now, save us having to watch the video.
Yeah, it's easier then, isn't it?
Yeah. I tell you what, Steve, I do apologise for New Formix and Brave Bison, because New Formix is flying, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah, it is doing well, yes.
And you didn't get into this. I said it was a potential Pete. It wasn't a safe Steve at the moment. There's a trouble, see. If you go for safe Steve, you may not get some of the upside, because the risk has to come with it, you know? But it's a measured risk. But this is the thing I think about New Formix, and this is a slight difference here. The news is priced in, but the potential isn't. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean by that?
So
the immediate news and getting good data is probably priced in. That's very good. But then they can do so many more deals. This company can now be, you know, a FTSE 250 or FTSE 100 even. If they keep doing good deals. I mean, they can build up from here now. And did you see that video I did? Yes, you must have seen that, Steve, about royalty payments. Did you see that?
I didn't know.
Steve, come on.
Do you know what? There are strangers on Twitter who literally watch every video I do. I've known you for, you know, how long now? Too many years. 20, 30 years. How old are you now, Steve? It's your birthday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday.
I mean, how long have we known you since? I remember you got really drunk for your birthday once and you smacked a girl's bum. Do you remember that? You were so out. It's out of character for you. We were in. Yeah.
That was random. We're talking about you haven't known him.
But his birthday just happened. But I remember must have been 20 years ago. Must be. How old are you now, Steve? 40.
38. So it was 2000 we met.
2000, yeah. And we were in. Where was that pub? Down under bar. The Australian bar.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Steve was absolutely wrecked. This girl came in, and Steve's quite a nice, quiet guy, you know, quite respectful. This girl came in, smacked her bum, and she turned around looking disgusted at him. And he went, rah, ha, 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 like a really predatory male. You know,
I didn't know why he did that.
I know, I thought, I've never seen him like that before.
Luckily, it's been forgotten about, and no one brings it up.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, we've known each other.
20 years later. Right.
We've known each other through, you know, thick and thick. And. And you've not watched my videos, and there's people and strangers who watch it. What I'm saying is, New Formix, right? And I revealed this slowly. It's a company that did a deal. It's a charity in the UK. It's one of the richest charities now. So they did a deal for a drug. They had a cancer drug. They get the upfront payment first. Then they get the milestone, the royalty payments from sales of that drug. You know, so they license it out to a company. Company starts selling it, and they get like 10-20% for the sales. They've sold a portion of this drug's royalties to a Canadian pension fund for $1.3 billion. And then I looked up for someone showing me this is a guy called David Topolsky, his name is, or I don't know if I pronounced his name right, but so I looked it up. He is the chairman of New Formix. So I think, wow. So you understand why they're going for things. Royalty payments in China for NXP1 would be massive. And then they go for the rest of the world, and that kind of annuity will keep coming in, that revenue will keep coming in. And then they reinvest that into more drugs, and they'll do the same with that as revenue. So the potential here is massive, you know? Absolutely massive. But what I'm saying is, I think at the moment, we've gone really quick, really, it's gone stratospheric, the share price. It's done 300% since the start of the year. But I think it'll come back a bit now, because literally the tanks, you know, it's overcooked, it's boiling up. So it'll settle down, consolidate a bit. Hopefully the good news will come out, and then it'll start to rally again. But it'll consolidate. But that's Steve. After the data's out and it's consolidated, it'll drop back a bit. You get some price tickets, you know, profit tickets. That's when you get in, okay? And that's when then you'll have a steady climb then again towards new highs, hopefully, you know? So
I was going to ask you the same thing about skin, because I haven't got into that, but it's gone, well, not stratospheric, but it has leapt up, hasn't it?
You've got no skin in skin, yeah?
It would be good to get some skin in the game, but I don't know when. What's your prediction there, O wise one?
Well, again, on things like this, we've seen this. I often think, right, when a share price has a spike, that's a good reference point to look why it spiked and then work out, is that news substantial? Is it sustainable? Because every company, that good news has a spike. But it could be just a temporary thing, or it could be an insight into the future potential of that company. You know, so Skin's had that spike. It went to 2.5. It's come back to sort of 1 point. What did it come back to? 1.4. It's now hitting 2 pence as we're looking at Friday, so we're going back up. But again, just look at weakness on the RSI. When the RSI went below 50 recently, you could have bought that. If you play that rule, RSI 50, you'd have bought that at 1.5, you know, on the cooldown. Always wait till it cools down a bit, I think, you know. But again, there's plenty of things coming up, you know. they are a company. Like I said, the reason why the share price sold off is because they released their final results for 2018. It's a company in turnaround. There's completely new management in there with Jerry and the Pacemakers there. And they are setting a good pace. But, of course, they've only been there 4 months. When those results came out, even though you can see something good happening, they've only been there 4 months. You know, give them a chance. It takes a long time to turn a company around. But even then, you can see the great grassroots of some growth there. I think the revenue for 2018 was 111% higher. Revenue from continuing operations was 300% higher. That's only in 4 months since, you know, so. And they've changed the model completely from charging $2,000 a pop for these lab test kits to software as a service in the cloud with AI data attached to $200,000 a pop. And so you can see the uptick if all their clients hop onto that model that they've got, the potential there. And what's the company valued at? 50, 17, 18, I think. So they're quite strong. 18, but, 19, so- yeah.
Going back to bids, really, like obviously that's had a great rise, and I'm in. I haven't de-risked, etc. But it's now 50 million plus market cap. You do start to wonder that's going to cool down at some point, isn't it? So
the news hasn't started yet on bids. Honestly.
Well, I know, but that's it only takes for a delay.
I got a brilliant analogy here. I just thought of this earlier.
Can I finish then? Yeah, thanks. It will only take perhaps a quiet period of say a month or two over the summer of low news or no news. Right, exactly. But then it's talking now at 20-21p. If we're talking in a month's time and it's back down to say 14p or 50p, I could have taken some profit, couldn't I?
No. We're not talking about resource stocks here. And that's the thing. Someone compared what I'm saying about bids. When I was talking about Europa metals, you can't compare them. It's literally like you're comparing, a rat with a shark. Doesn't matter. It's completely different. You know.
Sounds rich.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what I say is, you're a guy there, James, very clever guy with good tech, plenty of skin in the game, you know? And they're already earning revenue. They're going to be profitable end of this year. They're confident in that.
Yeah.
So, a resource company takes 5-10 years to get anywhere near, you know, profitability almost sometimes.
Then the flip side to that is.
But let me just say one thing.
Sorry for interrupting. I hate when people.
Go on.
Okay. But if we're so confident about that, you kind of look at it and go, all right, then I'll average up even now, even at 19-20p or something.
No, but that's the way you mitigate risk, though, is by trying to get the best price all the time. That's the way you don't go paying above odds all the time. You know, rich people, right, can be quite tight, or they like getting bargains. And do you know why? Because in the genetics, they like to get something, you know, they like to be better than everyone else at doing things, and they get a better price than people, they like to get a better deal than people. So if you are a good investor, you'll try and get a good deal all the time. You don't just pay the top of the market. Like, I wait until, you know, this worry, like you said there, that people start, when it starts coming back, people start worrying all of a sudden. You will realize it's really odd how you'll hear more worry, even though a company is more developed and, say, you know, getting on better and doing better. When a share price is coming down, right, it's amazing how people will start to magnify worries or possible negatives when there's none there, you know? So I'm just saying, this is just started yet, just absolutely started. And I think it's going to be massive. Oh, someone just texted me something. And this is the analogy I thought about this. It's got monster. I don't think we've seen a share like this before in our lives. Since we've been investing in small caps, we haven't seen a share like this. And that's why we tend to frame it within other shares, you know. But you can't. We try and frame it and say, oh, try and justify the valuation you give it to other companies. You can't compare this to any other companies. It's impossible to do that. And I'll tell you why. Oh, I sent the wrong thing to someone. Hang on. I'm sending this. Sorry, that was my credit card PIN on WhatsApp. My wife was asking for it. I just sent it to you.
should we now announce it on?
Yeah, no, don't do that. No.
Oh yeah,
on my debit card.
All right, 2-5.
So this is what it's like, Steve. Right, this is my analogy on momentum. I thought for a second about this. Right. You imagine you're standing next to a racetrack, right? In a couple of months, you're watching these guys just test these cars, right? And they're going around the gym, and they all look good. They all look fantastic. And then you got one guy testing them, same guy testing them. But you can see one, I mean, some engines are different to others, all different size engines. They all look similar. They all look quite sleek. They all got painted jobs on them. You know, they look like they can do the same deal. And then all of a sudden, you get this guy, like I said, it's a Stig, who just tests each one. And you see one that can go, say, 100 miles an hour, 150. You can see one that goes 250 miles an hour, really motors. You know, it doesn't look any different than others. So you know it's got the engine. It's got different suspension. It's got everything in it. It's got everything in that. You can't really tell, though, from the outside. But you see the test lap, right? And say no one else does, or whatever. So when you come and pick the cars, you know exactly what car to pick, you know? It's that fast one. Okay, every now and again, you just start racing off, and you'll be bolting off. That's the momentum of Bidstack, right? You will lap other cars. Every now and again, you have to come in for some petrol, yes, and slow down. And the people say, oh, will he catch up next time, though? Will he, and people, I've had people say to me on Bidstack, when I've talked about it, said this is going stronger again, so many times say to me, oh, it's a cell signal. Oh, there we are, that's calling the top then. On Twitter, so many times. I've even not bothered even responding now. I mean, I haven't even said to them, I've had that. You would not have any idea how many times people have said that to me from 5 pence up. How many people have said that about, you know, other stocks that have gone stratospheric, you know, in America and all this stuff. And do you know what? Like I said, stocks that have momentum, they keep on performing, especially when they've got a massive end market, cracking tech, and a clever CEO who's building a quality team. It will keep delivering. You go on about the valuation, but you know what? When you're standing on the sideline, it's like difference between watching a wave and looking at the sea and thinking, that looks a bit cold, looks a bit rough out there, and someone actually riding the wave. You can stand on the side and say, oh, it's a bit overpriced, oh, or you actually get involved and earn some money. Because you know what? Standing on the side there and just watching, you'll not get a better surfer. Or you're not earning money just watching, criticising stocks. Get involved. And I honestly genuinely think it's got that kind of momentum. We have not seen a stock like this. And in a year's time, this guy said to me, 14 pence. He said, the other day, I was worried about paying 14 pence for it. I said, in a year's time, fella, you'll be amazed you paid 14 pence. And you think, yeah, wow, I was in so early. No, honestly, this will go to, I guarantee you, any money, Peter, we'll be able to mark
any money.
Steve, you're the secretary here, right? Mark this date down. What's the date today? What is the date?
24th
of May.
Steve sounds tired already. 24th. Don't have to be secretary. 24th. I said it on Twitter when I was drunk in Centre Park. I did say, I'm giving you forewarning of a 10 bagger, all right? It'll be a 10 bagger and more if they do what they want to say. And I'll reveal on my video on this weekend why it's going to get even better very soon. I've worked something out that James said to me and he said in the podcast. And I've realised, oh, yes. I understand. There's something there, and I'll point it out to you. But we'll look back on this day, and if you paid this price, you're going cheap. But I mean, what I'm saying is, try and buy when there's weakness. Don't try and buy when there's strength. You know, because that's you're going to flip the psychology of stock markets on its head. When everyone's worrying, you buy in a good stock.
Yeah.
But to see the analogy of the car with a massive engine, but you can't see it. Does that make sense? Is it rubbish?
No, yeah, it sort of makes sense. I kind of got lost in your analogy overload there with surfing and the beach.
What I'm saying, I should have mixed metaphors and analogies. I know. What I'm saying is, once it has that momentum, right?
Yes.
It doesn't go, unless the engine's got, it may blow or something, but, you know, you're talking about an engine crafted by the best engineers in the world. It's under the hood, you can't see it. But you know what? Once you've witnessed that momentum, it doesn't go away, especially when you go to the back end of a team, tech, and that space they're in. It doesn't go away. It'll temporarily.
So Bids is the shark.
Yes, Steve is on to it. He's got into it. Yay! All right.
There we go.
Steve, now, on next week's podcast, he'll catch up on this, on the racing drive analogy. I get the racing car thing. I got it. I was in the shower the other day. I just got it.
And then the following week, the surfing one.
Yeah. Yes. Anything else worth chatting about? Chatting about Skin's going up to 11%, isn't it? But so it'll come back.
Yes, so Skin, yes, I am biding my time on that. I think it's great, and I want to get involved, but not yet.
I'm going to be revealing a new sort of workflow filter. I've refined it a little bit, and I think it's better. Right. I don't want to. I'm not going to make. Oh, hang on.
Oh.
Yeah, I just had an email from someone from one of the companies we've been talking about today.
You're such a tease. You're such a tease today. You're teasing about three different things. It's so annoying. What about BT?
Rather than the 198. That's what I'm saying. They've had negative momentum in the Oxford line. Once you've got that negative momentum going, you can't stop it. What is it being stopped? Like the chairman's, he was even buying shares recently at £2 again, thinking he can do the old trick of buying at £2 and it'll go back up. It hasn't. Do you know what? They, pardon me, just saying, sell out, give up, shall we? It's a loss, no. It's a loser.
No.
Let me say one thing. If you want dividends, no, that's what I'm saying. Start buying the IUKD. IUKD, yes. I've highlighted in one of my videos. It's a FTSE, it's basically 50 stocks in the FTSE 350, so top 350 biggest stocks in the UK who pay the biggest dividends. It spreads the risk across that. I think the biggest holding at the moment is Standard Life and Aberdeen or SLA, which pays about 8%, I think, and that's the 3.3% exposure to that. But they've got 50 stocks, and in fact, I talked about that stock with Russ Mould on Friday on the podcast, and he was saying they got plenty of cash. They got 1.6 billion, and they pay about 500 million a year in dividends. So they got 3 years worth of, you know, years worth of cover. So it's fine.
But, why can't you find them on the Vox Market app?
Because they're not really. They're called exchange traded funds. They're not added as shares. So you could, if you go on the web, if you look at, you can look at them on charts, on TradingView charts, you can pick them up. You can just type in IUKD and you'll see it on the charts there. But it's now oversold, down to 20 on the RSI, and it's very, it happened recently that it touched that level in the big sell-off in the first quarter of 2018. But it hasn't, it very rarely touches it. It's in a bit of a downtrend. But when you've got 50 stocks like that, these are the time to top up. And you'll get, like I said, they pay quarterly, so the next payment, you've got to be in before the 14th of June to get this next dividend. So the quarters are split in four. They're not evenly spread either, so one is a bit bigger than the other. But this is a pension thing, you know? This is where you get revenue from. Rather than trying to get just... There's two ways to earn money at the stocks, of course, and that's capital growth, where the share price goes up. You buy low, sell high. That's very hard. And dividends. And dividend reinvestment is one of the most powerful ways of earning money over a long term in the stock market because it's compound growth. So you just reinvest. When you get to retirement age, basically stop reinvesting, just take the cash, you know, every month, and that's a nice little annuity revenue stream, you know. And so it's really important to have this kind of mix in your portfolio, I think. So I've got a nice chunk of that there. I topped up recently quite a few times on that. And I'm not worried about it being so low. 50 stocks, it goes with the market. I'll keep to every. It's the kind of thing I'll top up once a quarter, hopefully, for many years now. You know, having said that, I'll probably sell up next week. No, I won't. But I want to do that. I want to be disciplined.
The way I was looking at it was rather than trying to pick some dividend-paying stocks in the FTSE 100, you know, and hoping that they'll return a good income, as well as maybe some capital growth. It's spreading that risk, isn't it, and hedging your bets a bit, and kind of going, well, you're investing in 50 companies, so I don't know. It seemed like makes sense, I suppose. Well, let's see how it goes, but it seemed like a logical approach.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, and all the stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I sold my Brave Bison and literally put that money straight into there. So.
Yes, that's good. That's what you need to. That's. I mean, it is one of the things. Every quarter on a dip, buy some. You know, and then you'll start sort of earning money off that. You'll start reinvesting those dividends, getting more dividends on the dividends on the dividends on the dividends, more on the dividends. You know, and that's the way it piles up and compound growth. That's compound growth. Very powerful over the long term. Phenomenal amount of return you can get from that. So that's your safe play for a pension, and then obviously you need to earn some good sort of bit of profit on the stocks and just put it into that. So that's a feeder thing, you know, kind of thing. Stop Brexit. Oh, okay, fella, I will. Why are you taking the sign down? It's starting to work, I think. anything else? I'll be doing a video of this weekend.
You mentioned
stocks.
It. Yeah.
You should subscribe to that channel. It's growing quickly. Amazing channel. It's really growing.
Right. Does it cost anything?
Doesn't cost you absolutely nothing at all. It's free. Free information. You know, free information. And I've highlighted, you know,
quite a few. I'll give it a go.
Do you know what's out of favour? I still hold Xerox technology. I do think it's going to be massive. This year is going to be, you know, it's one of those things that dip a toe in there. I think their tech is going to be huge. They are valued now. They're valued at 18 million. I think their tech, I genuinely think it's a 10 bagger there, but they've got to get the fundraise out of the way. They've pre-warned about, even though they don't need it now. This is a year of transition. But I think it's going to be big. And but like I said, it's out of favour. And that's the thing. Once the stock's out of favour, and they've also warned about, look at Metro Bank, they warned about a fundraise coming up. If you wanted to tank the share price, that's what you say. We're going to do an equity fundraise. It's going to be a discount. We don't know where it'll be. That if you want to sow the seed of doubt into shareholders' heads, you will get people selling and running for the hills. Say that. It's a good thing to say that.
Yeah,
why don't they advise companies that? Just say, you know, I wouldn't say that, probably. But the reason why they said that, I think, is because they're confident. They've got Neil Woodford behind them, who will, you know, give them more money. You know, his funds are worth billions. What's 10 million to him? Not a lot when he's ploughed so much in already. So I think they're quite confident. They don't have to go to spivvy brokers and get, you know, some small private investors who consider themselves high net worth investing. They will flip the stock for 10%. They don't have to do that. So that's why they've said that. That's why they've given a fair warning, I suppose. But I do genuinely think, you know, water is getting worse. And I've read more reports about things going on, about water shortages. It's happening. There'll be more regulation. And it just plays into Xerox's favour. We've got cracking tech, you know. So, again, it's a company. If you look at its qualities, the websites, everything, the company, the board, like a 250 company, and I think it will become one of those. But as yet, they're going through cash burn into revenue generating. Any plans for the weekend, boys?
Oh, you know, all the usual.
I'm off to London for a festival.
Oh.
A London festival, Steve. What's all this about then? What is it? What is a festival?
It's in Finsbury Park.
Oh, LGBT?
No.
LGBT. LGBT. I heard that so many times on television. It's not really LGBT. LGBT. Shut up, you LGBT. Doesn't matter, you're a human. Ever be nice to each other. Doesn't matter what you are. Don't put some little acronyms and labels on you. I mean, LGBT. Yeah. LGBT. Which would be nice to the LGBT community. We got a nice little community. People love nice to the LGBT community.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It ironically, it creates segregation.
Yeah, it does. It does, yes.
By labelling it like that, yeah.
Yeah.
There we are. That's a deep and philosophical conversation.
I know there's been repression and stuff like that and all that stuff. And I obviously, it's really bad. It's nice now that people can just... let's be honest. No one's to condemn love. Doesn't matter what it's across, you know, it could be across Steve and his teddy bear. Don't condemn it. He likes his teddy bear. He goes to bed every night with it. It's love, you know? Pure, unadulterated love. It's looking a bit worn, that teddy bear, in certain areas. But, listen, don't criticise. Don't knock him for it. It's love. You know, who's he hurting? Pop him the teddy bear. I don't think the teddy bear even looks unhappy. No. I think we are a good case of reporting to the RSPCA, even though it's not a real human, it's not a real animal. But anyway, you know what I say is, you know, let's not segregate, let's not call each other names and acronyms. Let's just get on with it. Let's all be investors, yeah. Let's all be share investors, and we all have a nice word. Sharing money and success and wealth, health and environment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Steve, are you dressing up as? As for the festival, what are you going as?
I haven't got my costume yet.
What is it? What kind of festival is it? Just give us a bit of detail on this. It's a festival. Anything more than that. What is it? Sausage Festival?
I don't know what it's called, but I'm going to see two DJs play. So one on the Saturday, one on the Sunday.
God, they're long sets, aren't they? Wow. That sounds a bit... All right, then. Why didn't you join him, Pete? Sounds good, isn't it? Two DJs.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
One Saturday.
I'm coming to Cardiff actually on that Sunday.
Because he knows you're not there.
Yeah, because Steve's not there. Yeah, that's good. I've timed that perfectly. I've just booked the trip now. Yeah.
All right. Go on. So, Steve, can you say something? Yes.
No, I was going to say.
Oh, the boys at Toronto's DJ, that kind of DJ, this kind of DJ thing, you're a soul flow, wait for John, you love the soul of John, all flow, this is Los Lobos and Levanda. It's almost like, have a good one with that, sir. Have a nice weekend, boys, bye-bye.
Yes, you too, bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.